I want to share with you a painting that hangs in my office normally. This was painted by a friend of Abby's named Brooke Drury. They were close friends in middle school and high school and still today. And I ran across a quote that I liked and knew that Brooke painted, and I was looking for something for my office. So I asked her if she would take this quote and from it draw a picture for me, and she did. And she wasn't going by a photo or anything. She just drew this herself. So this is a work of art by a young artist, and I wanted to show it to you as a physical illustration of this word that we're going to focus on today, poiema, and it'll stay up on the screen. In describing God's works, there are other words that could be used for work, workmanship, but this particular one is this word poiema that carries with it this idea of artistry, of craftsmanship, of worksmanship, that it matters who the one doing the work is. And I think it's such a rich term to help us understand God's works in the world. So I want to talk with you about that a little bit today. As I mentioned, it only shows up two places in the New Testament, and you heard both of them, Ephesians 2 and Romans 1. In the Old Testament, which is written in Hebrew, it was also translated into Greek at some point, just before Jesus lived. So we can find corresponding words. And the word poiema shows up in that early Greek translation in the psalm that you heard at the beginning of the service, right? I sing for joy at the works of God's hands. God's poiema, God's artistry leads us to praise. So I want to look with you at the two parts of this today that I see embedded in this term. One is that God's artistry reveals something about God. And the other is that as God's works of art, God has a purpose for that art. It's not just drawn, created, pulled together for no reason, but God has created with purpose. So we're going to look at that as well in our two passages, Ephesians and Romans, in the reverse order, will guide us in that. So let's start with God's works, just the works themselves. In Romans 1:20, we read that since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, which are his eternal power, his divine nature, they have been clearly seen. They've been revealed in creation. And they are understood, at least in part, through what has been made, so that human beings are without excuse. We can't say we never heard anything about God, because something about God is revealed in creation itself, in nature. And you've probably experienced that looking over a beautiful mountain vista, or at the beauty of the ocean, or even the intricate design of a leaf or a plant or an animal. And so this picture, I thought, captured a little bit of that. Art, artistry, craftsmanship reveals something about the maker, about the creator. So in Brooke's case, some of you know Brooke, but most of you do not. You probably can't tell from this picture where she went to high school, but you can tell this is someone who has a creative streak to draw a picture like this, and she wasn't copying a photograph. This was out of her mind. I mean, I draw mediocre stick people when I draw. I could not begin to do something like this. So she's creative. She loves the use of color. In this picture, it's realistic colors, and she was able to interpret a phrase that I gave her and make that into art. If a human piece of art can tell you that much about the human creator, how much more does something as complex and beautiful and enormous as creation tell us about the God who created the world and everything in it? That's what that verse in Romans is saying to us. Since the creation, that creation itself, what God has made, has shown us something that would be invisible to us otherwise. God's power and God's character, his attributes, it shows us something about God so that we can, in part, know God. Theologians call that general revelation. It generally tells us something about God, the creator. Theologians then call the Bible, Scripture, is called special or particular revelation, because it's the written words of God that tell us, you know, in depth what God wants, who God is. So we can see and understand God in part through creation, through the works of God's hands, the poiema. And that is amazing, but there's more. I want to turn to Ephesians 2 and read the first two verses for you again. The passage is really focused on salvation and grace and faith. It's talking about we have been saved by grace through faith. And in Ephesians, it says it's not something we've done. It's the gift of God. That's grace. That's God's salvation. It is a gift of God. And just to make it clear, verse 9, it's not a result of our works, of our good deeds. That's not why we're saved. So that no one can boast. Like, I'm good enough to get into heaven. I mean, Ephesians is saying it doesn't have to do with your merit or your goodness or your lack thereof. It's God's gift. And if you know anything about church history or even modern history, there's something in us that wants to be able to earn it, to you know, balance the scales at the end and get over the finish line to heaven. But the Bible, the special revelation that says who God is and how God works, says it's not what you do, it's what God does. But you also know, I mean, if we've talked about this a lot in the last year, God also desires for us to do good. We aren't just supposed to lie there like snails on a log, saved by God, but God wants us to do justice and love mercy and show compassion and care for one another. So how does that doing good things fit into what God is doing, into salvation and grace? Well, this passage in Ephesians tells us you're not saved by those works, but God has created you with a purpose, and that is the purpose. Right, to do good work. So verse 10, we are God's poiema, workmanship, God's poetry, God's song, God's artistry, created in Christ for good works. Not saved in Christ by good works, but created in Christ for good works, which God prepared, envisioned before the world was made, so that we would walk in them. If you remember the creation story, in Genesis, God created, you know, different aspects of the world and the universe, and the end of that process on day six, after making sky and earth and water and fish and birds and everything else, God made human beings, man and woman, in God's image. At the end of those first 5 days, as each act of creation was done, God said, "It is good." On day six, when God made humanity, God said, "It is very good." And then on the seventh day, God rested. There seems to be not only in all creation, what we saw in Romans, that it reveals something about God, but there is a purpose given to the creation of humanity. Also to reveal something about God, but also to do the works of God. That's what Ephesians is saying. I appreciated Christy's illustration about the apple tree, because that does illustrate our creation and our purpose. I'll use a different illustration. I think about a crafted table. If you want an example of that, in our library is a beautiful, large wooden table that was crafted by Jim Terrell for our church. And it was for our library, so that folks could gather around it comfortably. I mean, it's a solid, steady table. It's at a good height for taking notes. It's for meetings. If you go and look at that table, you can tell someone created this with care, someone who knew what they were doing, who it's well-crafted. But you can also see the purpose in it, right? It was made for this room, for this purpose. In fact, it's so made for the room, I'm not sure we can get it back out of the room. But that's a different story. Or I think about a kitchen table. If an artist, a craftsman, were to make that for one of us, again, the art, the crafted piece of furniture would tell you something about the maker, but it's also made with purpose, so that a family might gather around it, share meals. Right. So that's the two sides of this poiema, what God has done. God has made us to show something, along with all creation, shows something about what God is like. And we specifically were described as made in God's image. So when we see one another, we, in a way even more than a tree or a bug or a cloud, we see something specific about God because we are made in God's image. Maybe it's that we are relational. Maybe it's that we, like God, we are creative. But it reveals, it's God revealing himself through us. But God has also made us like the apple tree, like the library table, like the kitchen table has made us for a purpose. And Ephesians says that is to do good works, godly works. So I say all that, hopefully maybe to reframe how we think about doing good. You know, we've said it enough here that you probably don't labor under the belief that your works save you, get you into heaven. And yet, it's so easy in a church community, right, for the expression of our faith to turn into kind of a task list, right? Be on this committee or do this chore or go, go sign up to do a good work somewhere. It becomes very task-focused. But these verses remind us that's not how God has designed our works. He's made us to serve like a table. He's made us to shelter and cover like an apple tree. He's built that into us. So I wanted to end back with this picture again. Anyway, what's on here is just part of a longer quote, and I wanted to share the whole quote with you. I can't even pronounce the name correctly because I don't know French. I know Antoine. I'm not going to butcher it. You can read it off the screen, right? But he wrote the children's book, The Little Prince, which I read as a child, and I read as a teenager, and I read as an adult. It is a beautiful allegory about the life and love of Christ. But somewhere in my adulthood, I read this quote from him that says this: "If you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood, and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea." And I ran across that, and I thought, wow, that has such good application for all kinds of things, but I think for church as well. It would be easy for a pastor or elders or teachers to say, this is what church is. Let's do these tasks this year. And people will do that for a while. You will do that for a while, but it will burn us out. What this gets at is, I think, what our scriptures today get at, which is remind people of the vision, the immensity of God's creation, that God has made us with purpose. That's why we're here. That's why we do good works. That's why we love and do justice and show mercy. If I can catch even the smallest glimpse of that, it's such a different and powerful motivation to do good than the task list that wears me out. So I asked Brooke to paint the painting with just the part at the end, teach them to long for the immensity of the sea, as a reminder in my office that's part of my task with you, is to remind people or to hold up to you a longing for the immensity of God in our lives and in the world, that's what we pursue, right? The Lord and Savior Jesus, and that's our motivation for doing good, and we are to do good. So this painting, I thought it would be a good illustration for two reasons. One is because it's a poema, right? It tells us about Brooke, and it was painted with purpose. And the purpose itself to communicate this quote is also in line with the scriptures for today, right? That we are not made to be a task list kind of people. We are created to reflect the very image of God and to bear, we're these tiny revelations of what God is like out into the world. Our purpose is to go share the love of God out in the world. And that is motivating and inspiring to me. And that's poiema. That's what God is like and what God has done. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you created the world and declared it good, and that you created us and declared it very good. We thank you that you have made us in your image, male and female. You have made us in your image.
and that you are pleased to show yourself through this work of your hands, these human beings, this glorious world around us. And we thank you, too, that before you even made the world, you purposed to make us to live in it, to love and to care and to do mercy and justice and compassion and to do good, to do godly and right things. Would you help us to be drawn to that divine and created purpose that's in each one of us? We love you. We need your help. And we thank you for the presence and blessing of your Spirit, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.